Best Energy with naturopath and medical intuitive Dr. Rita Louise. We have learned from Einstein's theories that matter and energy are one. Physicists believe that all systems in nature have their own particular way of vibrating. From the swing of a pendulum to the waves in the ocean to the light that brightens the sky each day, each of these oscillates at its own unique rate. In the same way, things such as rocks and minerals vibrate very slowly and at speeds that are imperceptible to us. Living things such as plants, animals, and man vibrate faster and appear to be alive. The same holds true for every thought, feeling, event, or word we speak. Each has its own frequency or rate of vibration. What many of us don't realize is if we take everything in our own universe down to its simplest form, it is all just energy. Join Dr. Rita as she explores questions such as, what are we made of? Why do we get sick? How can I live a more balanced and whole life? Call in and talk to her and her thought-provoking guests. Send us your questions and get the help you need to move beyond any obstacle or challenges that may be affecting your life, right from the source. So stay tuned and explore your possibilities.
Hello, I'm Dr. Rita Louise, and thank you all for tuning in to Just Energy Radio this evening. Many of the people I've helped over the years were listeners just like you. If you're at a junction in your life, don't stand alone at this important time. Call me or send me an email, and we can set up a private consultation so that you, too, can experience health, healing, and wholeness in your life. To find out more about the services I offer, visit my main website at www.soulhealer.com. And for those of you listening to the show as a podcast, remember, you can listen live every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. at justenergyradio.com. So tonight, unbeknownst to me, but what I realized last week was that we're kind of having like a 2012 show tonight. In the first hour, we're going to be talking to Barbara Hanclout, a 2012 expert, about her book, Catastrophobia, which I think fits in with the whole 2012 idea. And then in the second hour, we're talking to John Major Jenkins about 2012, too. So I think we're having a 2012 pre-party. That sounds like a good idea. Anyway, so let me tell you a little bit about Barbara. She's been on the show before, and she's really cool. And I'm very excited about having her back, especially to talk about her book, Catastrophobia, because I think we're being hit by that energy, and I'm going to leave it up to her to explain, but I think it answers some questions of what we're going through right now. So let me tell you a little bit about Barbara, and we'll get her on. Barbara Hanclout has been teaching the critical importance of time acceleration and the Mayan calendar since May 2005. She is the author of 11 books on transformation of consciousness, her best-selling book, The Palladian Agenda, A New Cosmology for the Age of Light, has sold over 100,000 copies. She is also the former editor for Bear & Company Publishing in Santa Fe, New Mexico. So please welcome to Just Energy Radio, Barbara Hanclout. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Dr. Rita Louise. Glad to be back.
I am so happy to have you back, and I think it was time. It was definitely time, because I feel like the energy that people are working through right now has been harder than cutting through fog.
I agree.
And you had sent me an email the other day, and I thought maybe we could talk about this, because one of the things I've been trying to do in the shows lately is to spend a little time with guests that I feel that is appropriate talking about what we're experiencing now. And it was one of those synchronistic things that in your email you made a comment that we just passed the midpoint of the sixth day of the galactic underworld and that there were some celebrations. And I thought maybe you could talk about what that means and how we're being affected by that.
Well, as you know, this material is based on my most recent book, The Mayan Code, Time Acceleration and Awakening the World Mind. And in that book, I adopted the theories of Dr. Johan Kalman, who's a Swedish biologist, and he's working with the Mayan calendar as an issue of an evolutionary time acceleration process. And so as we get closer and closer to the end date, which, by the way, in Dr. Kalman's system is late in 2011, it's not 2012, as we get closer to the end date, what's happening is we're going through cycles of time acceleration, which are actually causing evolution to speed up. And the midpoint of one of these key cycles, as you just noted a minute ago, was May 11th, just a few days ago. And this midpoint of day six has to do with the real recognition of where our species is going. And I've been noticing with people, especially during the last 6 months, all kinds of really interesting things have been coming up for people, like issues of do they have Neanderthal blood, and what does it mean to us that the Neanderthals were exterminated, basically, 35,000 years ago. It's kind of like the first extinction of our species, in a sense. And so what's coming up for us now is really, really core issues, as you know yourself from your own work. And one of the reasons that I'm really happy I'm doing what I'm doing right now is a key piece in this is my 2001 book, Catastrophobia, which is what we're actually discussing tonight. Because Catastrophobia was my investigation of Earth changes during the last 20,000 years on our planet. And the focus of my investigation was how do major Earth changes and cataclysms and catastrophes and earthquakes and all that stuff, how does that affect our consciousness? What has that done to us as a species? And the conclusion that I came to is that at the current moment, our species is afflicted with a syndrome that I have named catastrophobia, which is the fear of catastrophe, the fear of cataclysm. And so as a result of this extreme level of fear that all of us are carrying, and the reason we're carrying all that fear is because our planet, our whole solar system, went through a gigantic cataclysm that culminated 11,500 years ago. But this cataclysm really went from about 15,000 years ago to about 11,500 years ago. And during that period, our whole solar system and our planet literally was nearly destroyed. And then after the Earth went through that experience, then we had like 3,000 or 4,000 years of survivalism, like from like 9,000 BC to like maybe 5,000 or 6,000 BC. And I also think that we're carrying all kinds of psychological complexes coming from the survival period as well as the cataclysm itself. And then the biggest problem that a lot of us have had, I think as humans, if we know why something is going on, we often do better. In other words, the ability of our mental faculties to be able to identify what something is makes a huge difference in how we're able to heal ourselves and how we're able to move forward. And so one of the things we've been afflicted with is until very recently, science did not describe our recent story of cataclysms very accurately at all. As a matter of fact, they made it look like everything had just gone along for thousands and thousands of years, and everything was just fine and just rolled along without a lot of big change. Now science recognizes that we do have periodic cataclysms on this planet, and then whole new life forms form after that. So the basic point of catastrophobia is that our species is afflicted with this unresolved fear syndrome. And then what happens for a lot of people is then they keep on thinking the end of the world is coming. Like when the Jehovah's Witnesses talk about the end of the world, they listen. When the fundamentalist ministers talk about the end of the world, people are listening to it. And so one of the best examples of what I call primary catastrophobia right now is the issue of the world ending in 2012. There's a lot of people walking around right now who think that the world is coming to an end in 2012. They think that Planet X is going to affect the solar system, or they think that because of a so-called galactic alignment that the end of the world is coming, when in fact, that's not what the Mayan calendar is about at all. The Mayan calendar is about a culmination of our evolution.
Mm-hmm. You know. So because of the catastrophobia, or the catastrophe, the one 11,000 years ago,
mm-hmm.
or was it 11,000 BC?
11,500, yeah.
Back then.
Yeah, right.
Is that why, what came to me as you were talking, is that why we became, and I'm going to say a war nation, why greed and ownership and the need for possessions and security came up? Because I don't get the impression that prior to more current history did we build walls around cities and we defend them because there was no need to.
Yeah, that's true. And so if you go back to the beginning of agriculture, which was right around 9,000 BC, that comes right after this cataclysm. And as far as we know, people before that time were hunter-gatherers or they were horticulturalists, which means they had small gardens, but they also lived off of fish and small game. And so once agriculture started around 9,000 BC, then the trend toward building walls and defending and holding onto property and greed and all that stuff just kept building. And then according to Dr. Kalaman, the person who I think has solved the issue of the Mayan calendar, what happened in 3,116 BC, right around that time, was the beginning of civilization. And the reason civilization began at that time was actually a time acceleration in the calendar, which pushed our species into a much more complicated way of life, which would be civilization and cities. But it also brought up a whole lot of negative issues like greed and warfare and violence. And that's just kind of been the history of how this thing has progressed. And one of the reasons that I got so deeply into this issue is I've been a teacher for like 35 years now. And the biggest mystery to me through this experience of being a teacher was that I could see what people are really capable of. I could see the incredible heart openings that people can have and the incredible intelligence that people can have. And yet, why was it that so many people that I was working with and meeting with in general in life, what was wrong with them? It was, I had a profound, you know, meditation for like 10 or 15 years of trying to balance our capacities with the condition that we were in. And that's when I came to the conclusion in the late 80s that we are a multi-traumatized species. And then once I saw that we are a multi-traumatized species, then of course I got into the cause of that, which I think is unresolved fears of cataclysm. But the most interesting thing about what I'm working with now is the really big mystery is the study of the Mayan calendar and the completion of the Mayan calendar at the end of 2011. And so then I could see that what we're in the middle of right now, here we are, it's 2009, and what we're in the middle of right now is we're in the middle of dealing with primary catastrophobia. Each one of us is healing and dealing with some really amazing core issues right now. And as I said, with my clients and students, some of them go back to Neanderthal lifetimes in order to understand some of the core healing issues that they have. And so one of the reasons it's so intense right now is our whole species is in the middle of waking up and moving beyond catastrophobia and moving back into a species that's capable of incredible heart connection. And even possibly as significantly, also, we are now going to be capable of re-entering the universe. One of the basic themes of the Mayan code is that because of our fear complexes and because of our primary catastrophobia, our planet was put into a quarantine around 11 or 12,000 years ago. In other words, our species became so violent and so aggressive that we actually had to be cut off from the universe as a whole until we could heal ourselves. And so what I'm saying is that we're actually arriving at that moment of that group, that collective healing. And the reason it's so intense is it's just such an intense process to go through. And, you know, look how it is with each individual who heals. You know how intense it is for them. And now
I think right now, and I totally, totally agree with you that people are hitting core issues and having the opportunity to clear them. I have a lot of people that come through and we'll be working on something and I'll go, you know, this goes back to like when you were 2 years old and I'm sure you came in with something similar, but it's going back to very early periods of time. And if what catastrophobia is about our innate or our learned fear, you know, our hereditary learned fear, the period we're going through right now has been all about fear, and the only way to get through this period with, you know, any brain cells left or anything left to yourself is to deal with it.
Yeah, and then what's lurking behind this, of course, is that that book came out in 2001, and then, of course, I went on. And so when I wrote the Mayan Code, then I could see, by means of Dr. Kalaman's theory, that time acceleration itself is like pushing us. I actually think it's pushing us genetically. I don't know what else could be causing such a major shift in evolution. And so what's happening is we're being like pushed through by means of acceleration to the next level. But the interesting thing about the next level, and the reason I enjoyed writing Catastrophobia so much, is I think that part of going to the next level is reattaining who we were before the catastrophe, before the cataclysm. In other words, when I go back into the period of, like, into the Paleolithic period, like back 15, 20, 30, 35,000, 40,000 years ago, and I go into cave art and I go into the various issues with Neanderthals and then Cro-Magnon, I see many signs that we had a very advanced civilization on this planet called the Global Maritime Civilization that ended around 12,000 years ago. And this was a civilization of people who lived by the sea. And then they, like we love to do these days, everybody wants to live by the ocean. And they had wonderful boats and great ways of transiting the oceans. And then what happened is our planet went through such a trial. And some people think of that civilization as Atlantis, which is okay. You can think of it as the fall of Atlantis. But I think the global maritime civilization is a great, and that's, of course, coming from Graham Hancock. It's his term. And I think it's a great way to describe it because it gives us a sense of a culture that was living, a lot of their life was on the sea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is something a lot of us resonate with these days. I think it's part of the reason everybody, you know, wants to live by the sea.
And I would assume, based on what you're saying, is that they don't find any evidence of earlier civilizations because they've been destroyed or buried so deep that they haven't gotten to them,
et cetera. Yeah, well, the cataclysm itself was so destructive that, of course, a lot of the remnants of the civilization are gone. And then also, this was a culture that lived by the edge of the sea and then was living in a boat culture. And so then after the cataclysm, we know from science and from geology that the sea rose approximately 300 feet from about 12,000 BC up until about maybe 6,000 years ago. And so the sea rise basically just completely covered the whole culture. And I think one of the reasons that we have the amazing cave art in France, like Lascaux Cave and some of those places, is I think that some of the cave art is some of the stuff that survived, which of course is not a very technologically advanced level of art. But we have other remains on the planet, like the Sphinx Temple and the Osirian in Egypt. We actually do have some remnants on the planet that would appear to go back before the cataclysm itself. And what we do find is very, very large megalithic structures, structures made out of single stones of 100 or 500 tons. In other words, they had some kind of technology they were working with in those days, some kind of stone technology that we don't really understand at the current moment.
It was interesting. I had John Anthony West on the show last month. And one of his comments, which I thought was very interesting, that I think fits in well into our conversation, especially about this earlier culture, is when you look at the Sumerians, when you look at early Egyptians, they came into the scene with a fully developed language. They came with a fully developed writing system. They came in with a fully developed astrological system.
That's right.
They weren't primitive people. They had all of this stuff in place. There was just no documentation.
Yeah, and you know, Rita Louise, they were not only developed in that way, but a new author, a guy named Laird Scranton, has just...
I've had him on the show.
Yeah, okay, just published a book last year. He's published one before that, but his book last year, and I can't remember the title.
The Secret of the Dogon?
This is the one that's after that, I think. I'm not sure, but it's the more recent one. And basically, as far as I'm concerned, Laird Scranton has established the actual fact that Egyptian hieroglyphics are basically a quantum mechanical language.
Mm-hmm.
And I just...
That would be the Dogon book. That was,
yeah, well, that's the Dogon book, okay. Because I think that, you know what, I think they should have had something else on that title. Because even though the Dogon are part of this, I think the real issue in that book is that Egyptian hieroglyphics are a quantum mechanical language. Now, this really is profound, because what it's saying is it's, you know, as you know, the Egyptian culture was very stable for at least like 1,500 to 2,000 years. And this is saying that they had an advanced science as the very basis of their hieroglyphics. So, you know, that's incredible, because when you get into quantum mechanics, it, at least for me, it opens my consciousness very, very wide when you start really studying the implications of quantum mechanics. It's a much more subtle way of thinking about things than Newtonian physics, of course, you know.
And I'm just trying to...
Well, you know what I'd like to put in here, actually? My mind wandered for a minute, because I'd like to add a little piece here, because every author who has written a book, really the only thing any one of us has to give is some special piece of knowledge that we have for some reason, because you know what I'm getting at, it's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things about my work that has turned out to really bear fruit is that for about 12 years, I studied with Dr. Felicitas Goodman, who is the person who developed the whole cadre of knowledge about sacred body postures. You may or may not know about this. Felicitas, you know about it. And Felicitas was an anthropologist who discovered that with all these figurines and drawings all over the planet that go back 1,000 to 40,000 years, she discovered that the ancient ones, the Paleolithic people, and then the people coming after that, had a whole ritual system where you hold a certain posture, and then somebody rattles or drums for about 15 minutes to put you in a trance. And then what happens while you're holding that posture is you go on a specific journey. Like one posture will trigger you into going to the underworld, another one will trigger you to take a trip into the upper world, or a healing journey of some sort. And so because of my work with Dr. Goodman back in the 90s, I have actually spent a lot of time traveling into the Paleolithic. I've actually used a lot of we have a bunch of postures that are more than 20,000 years old. And so I've actually traveled into that mindset, which has given me a really profound respect for these people. Even though they weren't technological in the way that we are now, their connection with nature, their involvement with the processes of our planet itself were very, very high developed, very highly developed. They were very highly developed energetically. For example, Neanderthal had a very large cerebellum, which is a very very imagistic and magical part of our brain. And so one of the things that's really helped me in my work regarding the catastrophes and regarding primitive culture and Paleolithic culture is that I've actually traveled back into that period. You know, and then the other part of my background that's interesting is I wrote a trilogy called the Mind Chronicles Trilogy. That's Mind, M-I-N-D. And the Mind Chronicles trilogy is based on 100 sessions that I did under hypnosis into my past lives. And when I did 100 sessions they weren't really my lives. What happens is you can tap into anything, and very quickly with this kind of work, some of it's your own lifetimes, and a lot of it is just like traveling into different phases of culture. But what I did in the Mind Chronicles was I time traveled through 100,000 years of human consciousness. And I didn't realize at the time what a significant length of time that was.
Well, we'll come back to that after the break. I'm Dr. Rita Louise. We're talking to Barbara Hanclow about her book, Catastrophobia. Her website is alignment2012.com, and we'll be back after these words from our sponsor.
Just Energy Radio with your host, Dr. Rita Louise, will return right after these messages.
Are you sensitive to energy? Want to explore the world beyond the five senses? Looking for a new career as an alternative healthcare practitioner? Then the Institute of Applied Energetics, Medical Intuition, and Energy Medicine Training Programs may be right for you. Our comprehensive curriculum provides students with a deep understanding of how to detect, evaluate, and transform the subtle body, as well as techniques for correcting energetic imbalances that may underscore a person's ability to experience radiant health. So if you are sensitive to energy, contact the Institute of Applied Energetics right away. Be a catalyst for changing the way healthcare is done around the world. Visit www.appliedenergeticsinstitute.com and start your new career today. Hey, it's Dr. Rita Louise. Don't forget to sign up for our free online newsletter at justenergyradio.com. It'll keep you informed of who's coming on the show each week. And don't forget, explore your possibilities every Friday night. Don't miss a single episode of Just Energy Radio. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Are you feeling stuck and unsure which way to turn on your path? Do you lack focus and direction in life? Do you feel something is missing? So what do you want? A better job? Your dream home? More money? Your ideal mate? Dakara has practical tools to assist you. Schedule a session today to get clear about what you truly desire to deliberately create the life you want. For more information, visit ManifestingConsultant.com or call toll-free 1-800-813-3877.
Go deep inside yourself and venture into the realm of the unconscious mind with my Meditating on the Kabbalah guided imagery audio CDs. Discover who you are and what you want in life. Meditating on the Kabbalah can help you to open, clear, and revitalize the energetic pathways of your subtle being. They will support you in your spiritual quest by helping you to access the profound insights and inner guidance you need as you work in alignment with your highest good. Let them help you to release negative thoughts and emotions and clear away any limitations that may be keeping you from experiencing your full potential. Walk down the path to health, healing, understanding, and enlightenment with Meditating on the Kabbalah. Order your copy today at www.soulhealer.com. That's right, that's www.soulhealer.com.
And now back to Just Energy Radio with Dr. Rita Louise.
Hello, I'm Dr. Rita Louise, and you're listening to Just Energy Radio, and we're talking to Barbara Hanclough about her book, Catastrophobia, but it seems to be a 2012 all-night, tonight night. So, Barbara, before the break, you started talking about your time travel into the Paleolithic and into other periods of time.
Right. And also, I'd like to correct you, if you don't mind. My website is not alignment2012.com. I think that's probably John Major Jenkins' site.
So
let me give you my website.
That would be correct.
Yeah, so let me give you my website. My website is hand, H-A-N-D, clow, C-L-O-W, just like my name, 2012.com.
Well, you know, if I read the right line off my computer, they both end in 2012, so I'm thinking, that's it.
I see how you did that. A lot of stuff ends in 2012 these days, doesn't it?
Well, and this morning I was saying to myself, well, you know, I guess you should maybe get some reading glasses so you can read stuff off the computer screen, because my bifocals, I'm like, wherever that focus point is like this little teeny band of, I can't really see.
Yeah, so. I know what you mean. I'm like that too, and it happened to me suddenly when I was 44. I remember it when it happened. But back to the issue of time traveling.
Can you time travel so I can have my eyesight back?
Wouldn't that be nice? Me too. So As I got into my more current work on the Mayan calendar, I had already done all of this research by means of hypnosis, past life regression, and then I also had done all this work with Dr. Goodman. And so I had spent an extensive amount of time basically traveling through the last 100,000 years. And then...
Redial.
Hello? So are we live here or do I... I'm alone. I'm all alone. I guess Barbara traveled back in time to find what was going on. I don't know. Well, we're just having a little interesting technological night, and we're not even talking about entities tonight. We're talking about 2012. I don't know. Personally, I think the whole concept of a catastrophe happening back yonder is a very interesting concept, especially... You know, they talk about Noah and the flood with Noah, but I don't get the impression, based on biblical text, that it was necessarily all-world encompassing. And it was timeline-wise, it really doesn't fit in with what we would say with the Atlantis or the melting of the ice caps, which was like 10 to 13,000 B.C. or that time period. But Barbara's commentary about there being another catastrophe, one that was recorded in our consciousness and recorded in our psyche, is very different. And there are issues that and things in our personality that we tend to carry around that are programmed into us from a very, very early, early period of time in our lives that we're not even aware that we carry them. And these are things that can be handed down through our families, culturally, as to how we deal with stuff or interact with stuff in the general sense of the word. And it's not something that you learn in school. It's just how culture is, how people are, how we interact with stuff. And so I think that this underlying fear, this underlying worry that she talks about in her book, I think could really have some valid answers as to why, as a people, why we're in so much fear. There you go, Barbara.
Hey, where'd you lose me?
Oh, I lost you at time travel, but I've been just kind of talking about the whole concept of the catastrophe and not being associated necessarily with the flood from Noah, but mm-hmm. that it being actually much earlier than his, because that flood kind of leads you to believe that it was more, I'm going to say, regional. You know, there was a flood, it went away. But there are stories that go around the globe of this flood, and they couldn't have, all these people couldn't have come from the Middle East and gone to South America and, you know, around the world. So there had to have been a global catastrophe that happened. That's kind of what I was talking about. But then I was talking about just programming, how it would explain how that underlying fear, how we are a people that live in fear.
That's right. And it's such a primary nerve. than anybody who knows how to bring up fear by using different images and all that. People get really confused because it goes right into that core nerve in people. It's a source of Christian fundamentalism, especially in fear of the end of the world. It's really the source of fundamentalist movements in all religions around the planet. And one of the things I discovered in Catastrophobia, and by the way, I wrote that book with a couple of scientists from Oxford, so the background of this book is very scientifically credible. And what I just discovered is that this nerve is just so intense in people that almost anything that strikes into it will. For example, think of 9/11, and think of how we almost went into a kind of catatonic zombie-like state in a sense. And that's a really good example, of what a mass event. I mean, it wasn't that incredible. A lot of people picked up on it for weeks before, and then after it actually happened, there was kind of a paralysis, kind of a time lock on American culture. And so I thought that was kind of interesting to be able to experience that, to just see how easily people can just be gripped by some sort of cataclysmic experience, something that causes that much fear.
But even if you don't think of disaster, we are a fear-based people.
That's right.
Everything scares us.
Well, and then one of the things I did with Catastrophobia is I had a lot of fun showing what I call the global elite, the world management team, did with this fear in people. Because if you go back to the time that this whole thing happened, and let's think of it as the fall of Atlantis, then what happened was a lot of people were just completely destroyed or so flattened that when they came out of it, they were like zombies. But then there were some people on the planet who managed to get through it because they were on the sea or wherever they were, and they became like gods to the people who had barely survived. And so we go back to this early period, 11,000 years ago, when we have like gods teaching humans how to grow plants and how to deal with water reclamation, because a lot of the rivers and lakes on the planet had been all screwed up and destroyed. And so if you go into this complex that we're dealing with, it's kind of a leader-follower complex. But of course, the leaders, the priests and kings, realize that the more fearful people are, and the more people are like sheep, then the easier it is to control them. And of course, this is one of the main theses that David Icke gets into, the people being like sheep. And so one of the reasons we've got to, yeah, people like sheep, yeah. And so one of the reasons we need to heal ourselves and recognize this primary fear. In other words, what I'm suggesting in Catastrophobia is we realize that what we fear now is actually something that happened a long time ago. It's not about the current time.
Then what time would it be?
Well, what I mean,
you lost me there. It's not the right time.
Right. Okay, the fear is in us, but what I'm trying to say is then our response to what's actually happening around us is completely irrational and nonsensical. For example, a lot of people right now are fearing the end of the world and maybe pole flips and earthquakes and all sorts of stuff in 2012, when what they should be worried about really is what the bankers are doing. our reality is being crashed by financial manipulation. We're not even looking at the primary issue, You keep fading in and out for me.
That's okay, because it's like you're saying all this stuff, and then my brain is going, churning away. No, you didn't lose me. You didn't lose me.
Yeah. But,
they use it really well. And, it's like I try not to speak conspiracy on the show, but lately it just has been, it's just been flying out. And it just makes you wonder, how much of what's going on is actually real, or how much is just designed to keep us in a fear state so that they can control and manipulate us because they know that we're fearful people.
That's right. A huge amount of it is being done just for those purposes. But it's interesting to watch people at this moment, different people who have different levels of financial stress, because people are moving back in together. Families are starting to get together. These great big McMansions that had a couple and one kid in it are suddenly moving the grandparents in or teenage children or whatever. And so from what I see of the human race, now, of course, I'm following Dr. Kalaman's time acceleration theory in the Mayan code. And what I see going on is we're going through a radical, critical leap in our evolutionary development right now. And that critical leap is actually a movement beyond fear. So, of course, we're at a point right now where the global elite, conspiracy, whatever, is doing everything it can to keep people controlled.
I think a lot of people are just getting really tired of it and really frustrated about it. And the veil, you know, they talk about the veil. Well, I think the veil is getting really thin, or maybe it's like Toto is running to the edge of the curtain and starting to pull it back, and people are going, "Ooh, look, there's a man behind the curtain."
Well, yeah, that's another good point, too, because, you know, the global elite, conspiracies, things like that, they all function on secrecy. And when the secrecy is taken away and when, as you said, when you open the curtain, all of a sudden you see what's really going on. And there's a massive awakening right now of people figuring out how these programs work. And like today, it's May 15th, and Saturn's going direct today, which is kind of a big transit. And also, Angels and Demons is opening up at the movie theaters. Now, if you want to see, I haven't seen it, of course, I read the book, but talk about a fabulous exposure of the way the Vatican and the global elite works together to control people. It's awesome. So people are really waking up. I mean, in my whole lifetime, I've watched people, the lights are going on one by one as people get the way the program works.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, that's what the calendar
you would have to be, but you would have to be really dense to not get your brain, though, at some of it. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, I've been teaching for such a long time. I've got kind of a wonderful perspective, and people can see stuff. Kids can see stuff. I have a lot of young kids coming to my workshops. They can see stuff that people just couldn't see at all 20 years ago. People's eyes are really, really opening up at this point.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I can see. Yeah.
And it's interesting because on one end, that's what's happening with people. And then on the other end, they're hitting that fear. And what I've been seeing a lot is this energy of don't make any plans. I thought it was don't make any commitments, but that's really not a true statement. It's don't make any plans. Putting out plans in the future and working toward achieving those goals isn't working anymore. It's really about being here, being in the now. What am I supposed to be doing today? Because if you put energy out, all it does is get attacked by fear, and then you just don't get there because you worry that you're not going to achieve it.
Yeah, and what you've described, of course, is that we're getting into the flow, because the idea here would be that there actually is an evolutionary flow of life, and that in catastrophobia, what I'm saying is it's like we kind of got thrown outside of the normal flow of things by that experience, and now what's happening is people are coming rapidly. It's like a school of fish or a school of birds that remember what it's like to fly together, you know, and it's in the flow that we strength in that.
Mhm. And it's also one of the best ways to make it so that if you are in fear or if you're in worry or anxiety or whatever, to let go of it. And there's the music, and I guess we missed the beginning, so we need to take a break. I'm Dr. Rita Louise. We're talking to Barbara Hanclough about her book Catastrophobia, and we'll be back after these minutes.
Just Energy Radio with your host, Dr. Rita Louise, will return right after these messages.
Move past the crossroads in your life and discover alternative solutions to your deepest concerns at SoHealer.com. So whether it's a physical problem, an emotional issue, a question about work, or troubles in your relationships, naturopath, and medical intuitive Dr. Rita Louise can help you. Bring peace, harmony, and health back into your life. Schedule a session today. Visit soulhealer.com right away and live the life you've been dreaming of.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rita Louise, the host of Just Energy Radio and the founder of the Institute of Applied Energetics. Start a new career today on the leading edge of alternative health and healing. The Institute of Applied Energetics can help you develop the specialized skills you need to work as an energy medicine practitioner, intuitive counselor, or professional medical intuitive. Besides our outstanding technical instruction, our programs also support you in creating and building a successful business in this rapidly growing field. Be a catalyst for changing the way healthcare is done around the world. Contact the Institute of Applied Energetics right away or visit AppliedEnergeticsInstitute.com. You can get a copy of Dr. Rita's latest book, Avoiding the Cosmic 2x4, by visiting www.soulhealer.com. Get your copy today.
Just Energy Radio wants to help you grow your business. Just Energy Radio has a growing global audience which can provide you with an unequaled opportunity to educate thousands of people about the products and services you have to offer. Through our targeted market, your ad is more likely to connect with like-minded individuals who will respond to your message. In addition, our archiving feature will allow your ad to be heard over and over again. Join the internet marketing revolution and take advantage of our low introductory prices. Visit JustEnergyRadio.com for more information.
Move past the crossroads in your life and discover alternative solutions to your deepest concerns at SoulHealer.com. So whether it's a physical problem, an emotional issue, a question about work, or troubles in your relationships, naturopath and medical intuitive Dr. Rita Louise can help you. Bring peace, harmony, and health back into your life. Schedule a session today. Visit SoulHealer.com right away and live the life you've been dreaming of.
Now back to Just Energy Radio with Dr. Rita Louise.
Hello, and welcome back to Just Energy Radio. I'm Dr. Rita Louise, and we're talking to Barbara Handcloud with the correct website of handcloud2012.com. So, Barbara, we have about 8 minutes left. And so let's talk about what can we do. So we have this built-in catastrophophobia pre-programming that we came into this existence with, this life with. What can we do to start breaking up the programming into healing the fear that we're carrying around with us so we don't have to keep passing it on to generation after generation?
Okay, so I look at this as a two-part process, and my own work is part of the first part, which is when I was a child, my initiatic teaching was by my grandfather, who was Cherokee. And the Cherokee retained the records of the original story, as have many indigenous people. And so as a small child, I learned about the original story of the cataclysm, and I was told the story of what happened to the people, so that I never had that kind of built-in fear of something coming in the future, because I understood that it was something that had happened fairly recently to us. And so fortunately, science and a lot of the new consciousness writers are telling the correct story at this point, and which of course is what's going on with catastrophophobia. So since we are people who operate mentally, when we have the right information, something very remarkable happens with us. We very quickly move into clarity when things start to sync up. And when we get the wrong information, we just get more and more confused. So one thing that is helping us at this moment is understanding the real story of our past. And then the second thing that's going on in our current times is all of the people working in healing. So there's many, many people now doing various kinds of sessions. I find body work is especially effective for issues of the primal fear issues. And one of the things I've been doing for the last 10 years is teaching in healing schools as much as I can, because therapists need to actually know about this complex in people. Because with a certain number of clients, when you take them back in time or when you go through a fairly intense body experience, people will actually start going through the cataclysm itself. I've had a lot of therapists give me some very, very interesting reports about this. And so if the therapist doesn't understand what's happening to the person, things can get pretty weird. And I think of, remember Janoff and Primal Scream, a therapist back in the 70s, and I think he's still around. Well, one of the things that Janoff was really good at was really triggering that primal level in people. And then when he would get them to that primal level, he would help them kind of scream it out. Another form of therapy that helps a lot with this is rebirthing, where you bring a person like through their birth, and it's in the actual birthing that they release a lot of these primal fears. So it's a combination of identifying exactly what the problem is, number one, and then number two, working with people to release the energy, because what happens is the energy is stuck in your cells. It's stuck in your muscles. One of the reasons people have so much body armoring is partly because of cataclysmic fears actually caught in their body structure. And then the third thing is always these days, slow down as much as you can, get into nature, and really try to relax now. Because we've reached such a peak of intensity in the healing movement now that almost the best thing a person can do is just slow down and start breathing and take it easy in the middle of this.
Well, and I don't think it's so much in the healing process. I think that things are going so fast, and if you try to keep up with the speed that the universe is running at right now, you can get totally caught up in it and burnt out in a matter of a couple of weeks. And the only way that you can really, you know, part of the healing is about nurturing and allowing that to have its cycle and then finding your own cycle inside of that. And so giving yourself the opportunity to say, I'm done, I'm going to go take a break, or I'm going to go do this, has to happen, because that helps us not be in fear that we're not doing these things either, and helps us to become more authentic with ourselves and our own energy.
Yeah, and it helps people to communicate too, doesn't it? I mean, one mm-hmm. of the things I find with workshops and with groups and stuff is that once people start talking to other people, they start realizing they're not crazy, and they start to realize that, hey, everybody seems to be going through this experience now. And as this experience, it's believe it or not, it's going to go faster and faster. According to Dr. Kalaman, we're in for another time acceleration in early 2011. The recent one was...
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I know. There was a recent one in 1999 that has a lot to do with technology, and it's the reason that everybody is dealing with so much electronic stuff. And now this next acceleration in 2011, I think, actually is going to have something to do with going into a state of enlightenment. It's kind of seems to be a movement even beyond this technological acceleration. So surely one of the things that's most important right now is that people share and talk to other people. And the economy itself is forcing people into that. I've talked to a lot of people now who just have to live with their relatives and live with their friends and start really getting together as at a community level at this time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I totally agree. So
yeah.
Why did Dr. Kalaman say that it was going to be 2011 versus 2012? And in your opinion, and this might be the bigger thing, are people really going to notice that there has been this profound shift? I mean, if the world blows up, okay, I think people will notice that, you know?
Yeah.
But if it's more of a transformation in consciousness, is there really a date that you can put on it, or is it going to be something that in hindsight, recognize
well,
that we
yeah.
question.
One of the big differences between the 2012 group of people, researchers, and people who are working with 2011 and Kalaman's theory is that when you work with time acceleration, you're working at the transformation every day now. And people, of course, years ago were also, once this theory was discovered, people started working with this issue of evolutionary acceleration, where there's a tendency with people working with December 21st, 2012, to make it into some kind of great big, it's kind of like a cosmic big bang all at once. And that's my main issue with that point of view. Like the way I look at it is that we're going to go through another acceleration in 2011. Now, speaking of whether people notice things, did you notice how much time sped up back in 1999? I mean, I went off the charts with acceleration at that time. And so because I've experienced it in this lifetime already in 1999, I kind of have a way of imagining things becoming even more radically accelerated in 2011. And then regarding 2012, the way I look at it is that the evolutionary acceleration completes itself during 2011 with this vastly accelerated movement into enlightenment. And then when we go into 2012, we're going to be an entirely different human being. It's like 2012 is an incredibly significant date, in my opinion, not because of a galactic alignment, which actually happened in 1998, by the way, scientifically speaking. But what we're looking at is people experiencing the first year as enlightened beings.
There's a myth which says we're out of time.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. I still wish I had you for both hours.
Thank you so much.
But we'll just have you come back on.
Well, thank you, Rita Louise. I'd love to.
Okay. Bye bye, Barbara. Hand Cloud Catastrophobia, www.handcloud2012.com.
Just Energy Radio with your host, Dr. Rita Louise, will return right after these messages. Are you getting your greens? Now you can have your greens and drink them too with Innerfood by Inner Health Botanicals. Innerfood promotes health and boosts energy with nature's finest superfoods. Innerfood is 70% organic and 100% natural without fillers and is a whole food product totally assimilated by the body. Innerfood is spirulina, chlorella, dulse, kelp, spinach, alfalfa, barley, wheatgrass, rosehip, beetroot, and much more in real amounts, not just a sprinkle to fill out an inflated but potent list of ingredients. Just mix a tablespoon in your protein shake or in your favorite fruit juice and you are good to go and go and go. Other greens on the shelf typically weigh 300 grams and sell for between $35 and $70. Innerfood is a full 400 grams, 33% more, for $39.95 plus shipping. Simply go to our website, innerstreamsradio.com, and click on any InnerHealth Botanical banner and you're ready to order. Or call 866-762-9238 and be sure to mention you heard them on InnerStreams Radio. Innerfood, building health from the inside out.
70 million Americans suffer from sleep deficit. I'm James Athayanchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio, and I'd like to tell you about Earth Pulse Magnetic Field Supplementation. While using the Earth Pulse device, I found that I drifted off to sleep faster, I slept deeper, and I woke up more refreshed, and it does much, much more. Call them right now at 888-211-7888 or check out their website at www.earthpulse.net.
But wait, there's more. When you buy a new digitally programmed Earth Pulse version 4 magnetic supplementation device and use the special InnerStreams Radio coupon code ISR, you'll receive an instant $50 savings. No rebates to get lost in the mail. Just $50 more in your pocket on your way to better health.
888-211-7888 or check out their website at earthpulse.net
and use the special InnerStreams Radio coupon code ISR.
Earth Pulse. Deeper, more restful sleep, or your money back.
The Berkey water system is more than a water filter. It's a natural purification system that yields 99.99% pure toxin and biopathogen-free water from any water source without electricity. Many supermarket paper and charcoal filters catch, for a while anyway, some impurities that make water taste bad. The Berkey ceramic hard rock filters with their zillions of little micro holes go much further and trap everything from parasites to bacteria to chemical toxins and molecular size contaminants, even fluoride and arsenic. Trace elements and minerals necessary for life are filtered out by most reverse osmosis systems. The Berkey systems allow these through to nourish and energize you, your family, your pets, and the plants under your care. What about lugging bottled water home every week? The Berkey pure water systems are many times more pure than the so-called spring water, and the cost-convenience factor will amaze you. With simple, regular cleanings, your Berkey system can last up to 6,000 gallons